So, welcome to the Wonder What Podcast. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hey.
How's it going? Remember this thing that we used to do?
I don't remember it at all. What's going on here? What are we doing here, Robbie?
Well, I was checking our notes. We've only done two podcasts this year. This is the third.
It's been kind of a year, May.
It has been, yes.
So, you know, then there's a little something going around.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of been distracting.
That's right.
But, yes.
It's been some time. I know someone said to you, I feel like I heard something that they said, well, how's it been to have your time off?
My vacation.
Your vacation. Yeah. Since the quarantine, the COVID. That's not been a vacation at all. No, because you still, you know, would go to the building and teach your message and did your slides. You had to prepare your sermon and your slideshow. That all was still the same. It's just there was no one in the building.
Added in a theology class on Thursday and a British reading guy on Fridays.
Yeah. And at first we were writing prayers
for the Wednesday worship.
That's right. The very first Wednesday worship we did was at Eastgate, and then that eventually got moved and that went to Matt's house, and so you didn't really have to do as much then. But still, basically, we added a couple of meetings a week. So it's been busier.
Yeah, it's been quite the deal, hasn't it? I mean, I honestly, when this whole thing started, and you know, we even did the last podcast we did. We were talking about how we were starting to do. I mean, we're going to have to go into quarantine.
We were preparing for online services only, and Janelle came with us because she had a lot of the kind of planning set up in terms of how that was going to look.
But my goodness, this has been quite the deal. This is not at all in my mind. We've got a couple of weeks. We got to get through it. That was
right.
Even the way to 15 days to stop the spread.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Boy, it's been 2.5 months. Is that right?
I think so.
And we're finally coming out of quarantine. I mean, most of the states, I think all of the states, haven't they?
All of the states have lifted some restrictions. I think everybody's in at least kind of a level one.
Okay.
Every governor gets to make that decision, I guess. And so it's a little bit different looking in every state.
Yeah. And of course, at our state, or at least in our town, we live out at the beach, and wow. Has it been crowded?
Spring break is here.
Yeah, it's like a delayed spring break, and it's like crazy town. I mean, it's amazing how many people are here. And
I know.
You would not think there was anything going on. If you were to just look at the average, just even the way that restaurants
are operating.
You and I ventured out, went to a restaurant the other night, and they weren't even making the tables every other table anymore.
Yeah, they did that the first time. I think the first time we went out to eat was on Mother's Day. That's when the restaurants first started opening, and they were at 25%, and every other table was marked off, and all the waiters were masked. But about a week later, it was almost like back to normal. I thought there was only 50%, but we're kind of looking around like, I don't see masks. I see people at every table.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, it's again. One of the things that I have also found fascinating during this whole thing is how deeply we seem to divide over everything.
Yes.
And this is one of those as well where, you know, I've got friends who are just like, this is all, you know, way overreacting to, you know, something that is not that big of a deal. And I've got other friends who are just like, you know, freaking out because nobody's social distancing like they should, especially here
in our area. Or they're personally afraid. Or hesitant to even leave their house, that kind of thing. So
you want to, you know, the main thing is we want to be kind and respectful of everybody's position. Mm-hmm. I don't want to force anybody to do anything, but
absolutely
at the same time, I feel like we need to look out for each other. And that means if Romans 14 means anything, it means that we have to look out for, you know, the things that create stumbling blocks for our fellow human being. So we're carefully trying to navigate that, walk that line.
I feel like our line of thinking for wearing masks has basically been to protect the other people around us, which I think that's what the medical professionals have said.
It seems to change
all the time, but it's funny to me because I almost feel like when you walk outside and you see the mask or not, you can almost tell their political persuasion by whether or not they're wearing a mask or not. And I'm like, and just hearing some of their opinions too, I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, you know, that's fine. You do you, but we're just trying to think of other people, you know, and not trying to potentially infect someone if we happen to be asymptomatic or,
But if you weigh it out.
I think what we keep saying is it's better to err on the side of caution. Where's the risk if you're more cautious? Yeah. Why do we have to go outside, shoulders out, and, you know, saying,
we don't have a point to prove on that kind of stuff. We just want to love one another, and that's the calling that we've got. And I think, you know, so that's the thing. So we are trying to carefully navigate that so as to not, you know, I don't want to stress anybody out on either side of this.
That's right.
And honestly, as Christians, we really shouldn't be on either side of this. Mm-hmm. Our hope and our confidence is in Christ. So we're not afraid of these things going around. Mm-hmm. We've got a mission and a purpose, but accomplishing that mission and that purpose means that we have to think of how this looks to the world around us and what effect it might have. If we send out the message that, you know, we just don't care, well, then that's not beneficial. That's not going to advance the gospel, I don't think, anyway.
Right, right. I agree. And that is also our philosophy up to this point too, in terms of meeting and how we meet and what it looks like. And we're trying to be as cautious as possible, but also moving forward when we can.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I did not enjoy teaching to a camera.
I know.
All this, I talk big, man. I thought for sure I was this massive
lesson.
And I do. I mean, my personality trait is that I'm an introvert, but man, did I get, I was done with that. Like immediately, I realized for me it put me in my own headspace. There is something about having people with you, and you can, and my goal has always been to be fairly conversational in the way that I teach anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And asking questions, or, you know, I'm not looking for people to shout amen or anything
right.
like that, but I can gauge somebody's reaction to something. If I'm asking something, I can get a nod of the head or whatever. Oh my goodness, just happen to be, you know, in my own headspace, wondering and hoping that, you know, what I'm communicating is meaningful or helpful or
yeah, there's
whatever.
A lot of second guessing going on. When there's been about five or six, maybe five people in the building during the times we've done online only,
mm-hmm.
and but like one or two of them, including me, is in the media room, so you can't see us. One's at the soundboard, and often their head is down looking at the knobs, and maybe there's one person, Matt or someone like that, that can look up at you and give you an occasional amen.
And then you don't know discomfort until it's you're teaching, like as if you're teaching to a group of people and there's one person sitting up there. The pressure's on them and the pressure's on me, and
I yelled a response a couple times from the media room. I don't know if you ever
were able to hear me, but
I was trying to help you.
I never knew if I was being mocked or what. So.
No, not at all.
But so now, though, we once again, Melissa Traxler has stepped up and gone
amazing.
Way above and beyond as she normally does, and so has made a way for us to be able to meet out the Pineapple Willie's pier.
Yes, and as of this date of recording, we've done that twice. You finished your study in Job in the building, and so when we moved out to the pier, we have audio and video, but we're not recording your messages anymore, so they're shorter sermons, and it's a little bit different setup for us, but it's, and trying to keep the meeting shorter because
we've only got X amount of time before they open the restaurant.
Right.
So mm-hmm. we've been keeping them, and we've done well for the last two services.
Yeah.
We've been able to keep it at 45 minutes, and I feel like that's good enough. Everybody's able to see each other. We've been able to get out of there and not be a problem for the Pineapple Woolly stuff.
It's been a beautiful setting.
The weather's been cooperative.
Perfect.
Remember after the hurricane, how we had a string of perfect Sundays of weather. What, 6 weeks we had to meet
outside.
And we never had a day when it rained on us.
Something
became a
really
problem.
Be grateful for. And the same thing's happening now. It's just happening. Been nice. And
I'm thinking about the day when we're, you know, beyond this, and we'll look back on this time in our history together and say, remember when we had to meet out at the pier? Remember
Yes.
The old pier meetings? That was fun. Or
I
whatever.
I think that God is moving so many more times. I mean, we're feeling conscious and aware of this mm-hmm. happening, good weather when we need to be outside. But I also think of all those other times that he's moving and setting our feet straight and our path straight, or whichever it is.
What, pick setting one, us in the right. Matter.
Yeah, I always think about the little grandkids grabbing him by the shoulders and kind of twisting him that way. And yeah. I feel like he does that more often than we
does.
Really
right.
give him credit for.
That's right. So we're making plans, though, mm-hmm. to try to. In fact, we got a meeting tonight with the rest of the leadership at Eastgate, and
yeah.
we're going to go over our plans of how we get back into the building. And I mean, at this point, I still think that it would be inappropriate not to follow the guidelines for social distancing, which means that we already took a whole bunch of the chairs out of the mm-hmm. big room, and we're going to have to figure out a system to where we can, you know, accommodate. We can if we break into two services, we can accommodate 100 people per service and spread out at, you know, in we've
Be
got the rows
spread, out.
Spread mm-hmm. out to where there's 6 feet in between them, and then if three chairs between family groups creates 6 feet, and so that's what we're gonna have to try to do, which will give us room to maybe not a full 100 people, but close enough.
Yeah, depending on like the overflow in the bookstore area, or even yeah. in where the coffee counter and the kids get checking their sound over there, that there may or may not be chairs. We're not sure.
Trying to figure out whether or not we can do kids classes. I know that some churches are not doing them. St. Andrew's Baptist is not doing them yet.
Yeah. Kids classes on the coffee counter, maybe.
Yeah, and that might be too iffy at this point.
Or
it's
maybe a modified version of some of the kids' classes.
A modified version of the coffee counter. We're going to talk that over mm-hmm. with leadership tonight. So basically, we're here to tell you that we don't know.
We don't know.
anything
But
yet.
We'll let you know when we figure something
we
out.
We will. That'll be a top priority to make sure yes. everybody is aware of what we're planning and what we intend on trying to do.
Well, there's certainly a lot of information out there and a lot of helps. Mm-hmm. I love seeing that in our economy, our society. We saw it after the hurricane. It takes a few days or weeks to get the wheels rolling, but then all of a sudden the information starts pouring in, how to stay safe, and here's what you need, and here, try this and try that, and here's what this group is doing. And
right.
so we're trying to cull all of that information to find a safe, good way to meet. Because eventually we will have to come back inside. The Pineapple Village is not a permanent solution.
No. Eventually we're going to have to find a way to be able to, and that's what even everybody is saying. This is going to be around for a while. So we've got to find ways of modifying what we do mm-hmm. so that we can continue on with life.
Yeah.
And that's got to happen. So.
So that we're not complicit in a spread.
Right. We don't want to be complicit in a spread. We want to be careful for our fellow human being. But we still have, you know, we still have a purpose as an outpost of the kingdom of heaven on the landscape of cultural interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to fulfill that. We wanted, do you like the way I worded that?
Yeah,
or was that
sounded good. I liked it. No,
it was just
good.
Right off the top of my head. But so that's what our goal is. That's our plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've learned a lot in this, in not even just in the personal lessons about how much I really actually do want to be with people
mm-hmm.
as much as I think of myself as an introvert, and I am, but I still, even an introvert, as an introvert, it's an important lesson to realize how much I still need people.
And yeah, I think that there's been a lot of good object lessons like that during this time.
Yeah.
A lot of the people on staff we've talked about in general are introverts, and we've all kind of said, oh, that did not take long to get over that, thinking that one day, you know, I'm just going to be able to just kind of hide out. And it's like, oh, no, for me, it was just a few days. And I was like, I mean, it's not like I wanted to be with people 24/7, but I needed some contact with people for a period of time. And then I was kind of ready to come back and cloister, but just like, I missed it a lot sooner than I thought I would.
Surprising, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And
I think that overall the church is learning a lot of lessons.
Mm-hmm.
One of the common themes that I see in a lot of the articles that I read from those who observe the church and talk about the church is sort of a wake-up call as to what really is important when it comes to our fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what there's a lot of extraneous things that we've added in and made the church into, especially in 21st century American evangelicalism, that, you know, when you strip it all away, what do you have? What's left?
And that was kind of your message a little bit this last Sunday. What is church and uh-huh. what, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're, I don't,
You were asleep.
No, I was there. All of a sudden, you looked at me, and I'm like, oh, wait, did I miss something? But, I mean, that was sort of the sense. I remember we talked a little bit about your old sermon from way back when of why I hate church, but also just redefining what is church, what's it mean, what is the building.
Or getting back to the basics of it. Not even so much redefining it, but just remembering what this is all about. That God's building a community together, and that there's a function to this community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of one of those things that's good to get back to. It's good. I mean, that's kind of what we've been doing out on the pier, is just kind of refreshing our memory about basics. Because the church, this is a good thing for the church, I think, getting back to the basics.
I think so.
And I don't know. I'm sort of excited about it. I think the biggest thing for me is just the incredible amount of logistical preparation that has to go into trying to refigure or reconfigure how it is that we go about doing this stuff.
Yes.
And that's
That's been challenging daunting. For me in terms of, I don't do a lot of the IT, but some of it in terms of the broadcast, the filming and that, and like what works and what doesn't work on a remote kind of location. And
Like right now we're not able to live cast our YouTube channel because
it's a funny, quirky thing.
Yeah, you can't have you have to have 1,000, isn't that it?
You have to have 1,000 subscribers to be able to use your phone to live stream on YouTube. To stream it live on YouTube. Yeah. And so we have like 220 or something. So we're pretty far away from that. So, you know, I started looking at alternatives. Can we do it on a laptop? Can we do it on an iPad? Can, you know, we tested at home and it was incredibly complicated to where we finally just said, no, we're just going to record the video and then we'll upload it to YouTube after. But I know that there were a lot of people that watched YouTube and live and I feel like I've kind of missed that group of people.
I agree. That's hard to face the kind of limitations that we face. And again, you know, this is one of those things that I suppose if there were limitless amounts of money to throw at this problem, we could figure it all out, but that's not us. And so, you know, we'll do what we can do and provide what we can provide. And I still believe God has met us in the midst of it all.
Very much so. And we've done the Facebook Live too, which has also been kind of a fun group experiment that we didn't used to do.
Which is something we're going to keep doing.
We are going to try to keep doing. We first did that after Hurricane Michael. That was the easiest way to broadcast our services then. And so we've been doing both with this quarantine time. But we're planning on trying to continue that.
Doing both.
We just have to leave a phone up there and people are going to have to realize there's going to be a phone on a tripod in the front of the building. But we think that's a great picture. And
because I would assume that there still are going to be people that are uncomfortable, and I don't want anybody to feel like they should be pressured into gathering with the, you know, if you're not prepared or comfortable doing that.
Right. And some prefer Facebook over YouTube also. It's a divided. Yeah. We've been writing the numbers down. It's about half and half when we were at the building. Mm-hmm. And so for whatever reason, everybody's got their own preference and what works best maybe with their system. Yeah. So we're going to try to keep that up as well.
And, you know, for whatever reason, we can't seem to get to the bottom of it in terms of why the internet gets funky on us in there. And I don't know if that's a building issue or if
it is a weird thing, because even when there was no one in the building,
that wasn't
there's a diagnostic that Stephanie set up on our broadcasting software, and I just watched it just drop down, and right then the feed immediately responded with, you know, glitchiness. So we're like, well that's kind of out of our control. But
well, if there's anything that we learned from the book of Job when we went through that, that control is a big issue for us as humans, and we don't have it.
Over some of these more
monumental issues, although this isn't a monumental issue, but...
Well, there's been a lot of little issues then.
Yes, that we've been having to learn how to just put in the Lord's hands and just do the best we can and not freak out over it all.
Just really missed everybody so much, and I've just been so proud of everybody, their love one for another, their love for the church, the offerings. You know, I'm I collect those and put those in the bank or whatever every week, and it's gone up. It's gone up since we've been closed. And I know a lot of churches were very concerned about having income to come in, and I'm just like, wow, God's taking care of us. I mean, here too.
We've actually been able to help other people during this mm-hmm. time that, you know, that it's an amazing outpouring of support and love from this church. Yes. God has built an amazing community at Eastgate.
I'm very grateful.
Impressed with that. And mm-hmm. and again, one of these kinds of things helps strip away all the, because you know, it's so easy to get your mind on a building. That's one mm-hmm. of the things that I was talking about last week. And I have to continually remind myself the building means nothing.
Right.
And I know that. But, you know, there's times when you're looking at it and, you know, it's an old strip mall and things are falling into disrepair and you're trying our best to tape things together and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And you start to get discouraged thinking, ah, this place, what a mess. But then you strip away the building and all of that mm-hmm. extra stuff and you come back to the heart of this community. And what a beautiful, what a beautiful community this is that God's put together.
So amazing.
I'm blessed beyond measure to be involved in this.
It was so hard to see everybody, though, that first day, knowing we couldn't hug them or couldn't just pat them on the back or anything. We're just like, hi, it's good to see you.
What did you go through? I know I went through it, and I saw other people going through it reflexively. You're just reaching for each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we had to stop and remind us, oh, that's right. So air high fives. I was doing those a lot. But yeah,
I know that was so hard.
It's like you could almost hear the record scratch so many times as people were reaching out for each other.
And there, and you really had to recognize people's faces too, because pretty much everyone had a mask.
Oh,
and
my
when
gosh.
It was just the eyes that you were seeing, it took me a couple times and I had to really stare at a few people.
Right?
Did you have that too?
Totally. In fact, Jay Atkins was there to run, help with security and things mm-hmm. on last Sunday.
Yeah.
And he had a hat on and a bandana all the way up and a pair of sunglasses. I had no idea who it was until as I kept looking at him, I realized, oh, that's Jay. I could tell, you know, by mannerisms and things like that. And I told him, man, if you ever need like a secondary income thing, bank robbing is
there
your
you
thing. Because I would never, you know, I don't think anybody would recognize
that's
you.
That's right. I do remember, speaking of that, I do remember the first time I went into a bank with a mask. They just opened their lobbies a few weeks, and I, this feels wrong. Are you sure you want this in this bank? And,
yeah, that is a weird feeling.
It's a funny day and time. And I remember our granddaughter was very confused about it, and Janelle mm-hmm. came to me saying, can you talk to her about this? She thinks that we know all about it. We've been through it. And we're like, oh, no, it's new to us, too. Oh. And we kept talking about how far back you had to go to ever really have had experienced something like this.
Yeah.
And really all we could think of was the Spanish flu. Was it
Spanish flu? The Hong Kong flu in the 60s wasn't nearly as bad or deadly as this mm-hmm. as this one has been. But yeah, you'd have to go back to the Spanish flu. But so then that gets you, well, if you're me, it mm-hmm. gets you so fascinated with this, wanting to go back through history and look at this. And pandemics are a regular cyclical thing that happen with the human race. Almost to the point where it just feels like there's this strange almost rhythm to it as it appears through history. And so think about that the church has been here through all of these. The church has had to navigate these things over and over again and has always survived. We've always come out of it.
Beautiful.
You know, things will go back to normal at some point. And people keep saying, oh, there's no normal again. I disagree with that 100%. Right. Everything went back to normal after the 1918 Spanish flu. Took a mm-hmm. little time, but man, everybody got back to the point where this was so foreign to us,
right?
Because we couldn't remember what it was like having to go through something like this. So,
that's true. That's
so
really
it'll
true.
Be bad. We'll be fine. We'll get through this. We'll come out on the other side of it, having learned some important, valuable lessons,
mm-hmm.
and life will be the way we understood it and remembered it.
Yeah,
it will be.
I believe that too. Well, I think I keep bringing up. There may be some changes that stick with us for a while, but because I think a lot about pre-9/11 and post-9/11 and how I remember as a little kid, my mom would walk me onto the plane when I'd go fly to visit my dad, and she'd walk me in there, set me down, and then she'd get off the plane. And you know how that will never ever happen again. So, I mean, there may be some changes that last, but only in terms of good habits. And you think about what we learn through things like this, and how back before we knew what was causing infection, and now we know. And so we wash your hands and that
kind of
thing.
Exactly. And honestly, it's been a good wake-up call for me in terms of the hygiene of washing hands, yes, and things, mm-hmm, a good practice to get into. I think that's a positive, valuable thing.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I never took the flu seriously before.
That's a whole new thing.
And
now,
looking
isn't
at
it?
That and realizing the numbers of people that that affects every year.
Every year, and, number of people die from that.
Yeah, just I don't know why that just wasn't on my radar. It wasn't probably on anybody's radar, because the flu to me was something you get and you get over and you're fine.
Yeah, it was always just like a bad cold.
Yeah. And now to realize that there's actually more to this, and it just, again, another reminder of just how fragile we are,
yeah,
in this whole system,
right,
as it is in the world as it is right now.
And that's a good thing, I think, to keep in mind too. It helps, I think, increase our reliance and dependence on God, and
right. And it makes us ever more anticipating all the more what Paul describes in Romans 8, where creation itself is liberated from yes, what's happened here, the consequence of sin.
Yes.
And that's right. So that's something to look forward to, a restored world, something redeemed. And
have I ever told you what I think I want on my headstone one day?
You might have, but
I don't know if you'd remember it, but it probably wouldn't be appropriate, but I always think about it. And the thing I think I will go out thinking and remembering is that verse that says, if we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable.
Right on. That's a good thing to put on a headstone. Yeah, I'll do that.
But I think about that a lot. Could you keep that in mind?
You'd have to go first, anyone who's listening.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I already decided you go first. But I do think about that at times like this, that, you know, we're not trying to make heaven on earth here, and it never will be. And it's things like this that kind of are stark reminders of, you know, people die, and it's awful and tragic.
Right
and we were watching some war movies yesterday on Memorial Day, and I thought the same thing then, that, boy, if this was all there was, it'd be awful.
Yes. But it's not.
It's not.
And while we're not trying to make heaven on earth here, we are trying to reflect into this world what it can be like when it is on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah, we get glimpses of heaven.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's the whole purpose behind our function as the church, to reflect the hope of what the gospel brings to us into this broken world.
Yes. During this pandemic, when we were inside for so long, we started making a list of things we want to do when we could get out again. And we've been able to do most of them. We're still waiting on that baseball game. But but those feel like that to me. Just simple things. Some restaurants we've missed or whatever. That just being able to go there is like, okay, that's right. This is what our life can be like.
Right,
and this was
some
of the joy we experienced.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, in that certainly some things will have changed because of this experience in terms of how we approach our hygiene, how we approach illness and communicable viruses, things like that. But I believe with all my heart, we're going to be back to the sense of normality that we know. And, you know, that's the whole thing, is that ultimately, I'm going to say on a national, but it was on a global level, that shutdown triggered the grieving process in people. It's just anytime we as human beings get out of our normal patterns that we're accustomed to, it throws us. It's just it's a psychological equilibrium loss, and we begin the grieving process. We get angry, we go into denial, we do all of the things that are associated with that, and you could see that happening. It was playing out on a national level. But there's where, again, it's all right. We grieve. We're human beings. And as Christians, we were experiencing it too. Didn't mean we were immune from it. You know, like, you know, Paul was talking about in the context of people passing away or whatever. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, when he says, we don't grieve as people without hope. So we're grieving, but we still have a hope beyond this. This is not, you know, so we've been shut down and the economy has taken a hit. No doubt about that. But we've got hope. We've got hope that God will intervene. I believe in an interventionist God. I believe that he intervenes and he helps, and we can look to him for that help that we need.
Well, we've seen it so many times. We've seen that intervention happen by God so many times that, you know, it'd be hard to doubt that he wouldn't come in and help and save and take care of his people.
It may not always look like the way we expect it.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, I don't know that it ever looks exactly like I expected it to look. And sometimes there are other lessons that have to be learned in the process. But in each in each of these instances, I still believe the message is there, that he's God and he cares about us deeply. Mm-hmm. We have to trust in his wisdom as we go through. That's the lesson we learned from Job.
Yeah,
as
we were going through it. So good.
It was. You know, we're talking about Job, and I relied heavily on a commentary that was done by John Walton, a professor, biblical scholar, and it's gotten me kind of intrigued in his writings. And in fact, my daughter Jessica, my oldest daughter, also started getting intrigued.
Yeah.
She's been taking the theology class, and I pointed her towards the Bible Project. And I want to mention real quick, the Bible Project is offering for free. It's almost a college level type class that they're doing. It's part video, part worksheet. If you go to the Bible Project, you can find it in their resource thing.
What's it called?
Bible Project.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay,
what it's called. I could look it up real quick.
I did hear him talk about it on a podcast, but I don't remember.
It's something like Lessons or something like that.
Okay.
Bible. You could look it up as I'm
yammering. Yeah, I heard they're on their way to kind of doing more of a school type thing.
Yeah.
Having it available, I mean.
And it very much is that. I mean, I've started it, beginning the class. And anyway, my point was my daughter has been doing that as well. And we've found a whole new bonding area of discussing these things. She's been reading John Walton as well, and she and I both watched a lecture that he gave, and it's been fun to study that stuff together. It's interesting that so far down the line in our lives, you know, she's in her 30s now, I'm almost in my 60s, and yet we're able to connect on this and have a lot of fun.
This is Jessica, our oldest daughter, and you two have always had the graphic art in common, and you talk Photoshop at any given moment, but it's really awesome to see this be put together as well.
Yeah.
See you guys discuss this too.
This side begin to develop in our relationship and the things that we talk about.
Is it Classroom Beta?
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah, Classroom Beta. If you go to their website, you'll see the links on there.
That's it. And I can't recommend the Bible Project enough to people. I mean, honestly. And I just watching my daughter get so into these things, and it's based on, she's listening to the podcast, she's been watching the videos, it got her all excited about reading through the Old Testament, which she wasn't that familiar with. I would dare to guess that a lot of believers, a lot of people in the church are very unfamiliar with the Old Testament, and this provided an impetus for her to get interested in it and launch her in her own discovery of what the message is on that. And
I love that.
I do too.
That reminds me, though, too, real quick, while we're talking about Theology Thursday, that because they're being done on Facebook, they're automatically recorded. And she had talked about, I can't remember if she's going to do that with British Reading Guy or with Theology Thursday, but putting them all in a folder together on Facebook. So if someone wanted to go back and listen to the study again.
Playlists. She's putting them together in playlists.
Okay.
I believe that's Janelle was going to be doing that.
Oh, okay.
I believe that was Janelle.
Either way. Well, someone might be doing that. So for anyone that missed it live or would like to start over, that would eventually be available on there. I mean, you can probably find it now. It's just a hodgepodge right now.
Yeah. And it's a class I've taught multiple times, but what's fascinating about that is to see how, if we have to always be learning, we always have to be growing. And it's amazing to me. Like I look back on my really old notes that I put together when I first taught that class years and years ago, I think back at the Promenade Mall.
Wow.
And how far I've come. I don't want to say it that way because it's an ongoing thing, but just how different my perspective has become and based on the things that I've learned along the way. And
I think you're going to have to retype up those notes at some point.
Well, I'm happy enough with the way that I've got these notes now, and I just add things in as we go. Oh, it's not good.
No, it's fine, but I'm a person that follows point by point on the written. You have two or three points in between your typed notes. I'm freaking out a little bit. It's fine, but it would be nice to.
Okay, I can redo them at some point. I'll just have to go through. I've got the teacher's notes, and I can base it off that. When I find some spare time, I'll work on that.
Add it to the list.
I got a gigantic painting I'm working on that I've barely even touched.
I'm glad you got it out and it's on an easel right now. That's progress.
I took it off.
I
had to move it.
yeah. That one's been wrapped in plastic for months, and it's so giant. It basically is keeping me from cleaning out our garage because I'm like, well, where do we put this canvas? Yeah. It's covering half the wall.
I've never done a painting on this scale. I guess I've done murals.
That's true.
So that's kind of like that, but not like this. This is for a friend.
And I think it'll be really nice. And you've talked about maybe doing some of that live, and I think that'd be super fun if you want to do that.
I do. I want to. It's just, you know, again, finding the time to go out there and actually, because I need to spend a good hour on it. The next step I need, it's going to at least take an hour or so.
To get the base down.
To lay it all in with a brush. And then I got to cover that with another color. Nobody cares about this. The four people listening to this right now are like, whatever.
Yeah, I know we've joked a lot about like, well, maybe when this pandemic's over, we'll have some extra time and we can get to some of these side things that we've been putting on hold. I complain, but I've been able to do... No, it's only one puzzle. Yeah. I just got a puzzle out and it's not quite done yet. Puzzles. And then you ordered me a new one.
I did.
And so I'm excited about that. But really, I haven't had tons of extra time. I think that's the only thing I've done that's been like free time.
Yeah. That's the thing. Honestly, when this all started in my mind, I was like, oh, well, I guess we're not going to meet. I'll get some other things done in the process. But it's amazing how just managing the things that we're doing and trying to keep everybody connected by, attending to these things online. I mean, we're just now starting to back off on that a little bit. So,
right. We're doing staff meetings every week. We used to do that every other week. We're doing them every week. They're on, virtual. Yeah. That's what the word is. So that's every week.
You could say remote. They're remote, but in fact, they're remote more than they are virtual. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they're virtual in that we're not really there with each other.
Does that matter?
It really doesn't matter at all.
But also then we should mention too that the youth room is officially finished.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a few finishing touches this week, but as of this coming Saturday.
The 30th,
they're doing the open house and inviting people to come see it.
And I'm telling you, that youth room looks amazing. It really does. I love the way that looks.
I'm so excited for these kids to be able to finally hang out again together too when that time comes.
And I think it's the nicest looking room in the whole place.
There's no question.
So that's why before we get in there and have meetings again, we're going to do our best to spruce up and maybe upgrade a few things in the main building there.
Yeah, we have a couple little things we want to do, and other thing that's nice is the landlord that we've bragged about so much actually has come down during the pandemic and sent a couple of workers and were patching drywall for us and some of the walls that have been bad and
we had developed another leak in the roof and they went up on the roof and got that taken care of.
They fixed some
very competent crew.
Lighting fixtures.
Oh yeah, the ballast. And a bunch of the lights, which that's amazing that they took that on.
I know, that's a big old job.
Seems like that should have been our responsibility. So it's really cool of him to.
Yeah, it was with the old landlord.
Everything was our responsibility.
Yes. So we're just very grateful.
Yeah, very very grateful that we've got the setup the way it is.
We make it sound amazing, but honestly, it's like tumbleweeds blowing through that building right now. The calendars are still on March, and the trash cans aren't very emptied. And I mean, they've gone through a little bit and tried to make sure there's nothing, you know, around that a mouse would get to or anything.
Well,
but
no, but like if you go back, you know, 3 weeks ago or whatever, I mean, it was basically a studio in there. I mean, we had tripods and ladders and all these different things to get lighting differently. And
we were trying to different cameras. We had 50-foot HDMI cable running through the middle of the room. And and we just left it there. Like, why
do we have to move it?
Yeah, there's no point.
But we did. We got in there and boy, that was fun. Getting all the chairs back in their place and, putting the space between the chairs and stuff. Mm-hmm. It more than likely, I don't know if we mentioned that earlier, but more than likely when we do go back into that building, we're going to have to split into two services. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to figure out how to even it out to where we're not going to overcrowd one service. So we're going to look into how that might work. I know that there are some sign up options that are available that you can use, so we might do that, leaving enough room for people who weren't aware of the sign up and try to figure out how to process that. Again, logistically, it's going to be a challenge, but we'll find our way through it.
And all of these things are weeks or maybe more down the line, too. So
Yeah, and that's just, again, where I want to encourage everybody to either be signed up for our newsletter,
yeah,
or following us on Facebook. Those are the two main ways that we're reaching out. And you can also look on our website. We try to duplicate everything on those three places.
Yeah.
So if we do go back to the building soon and we have to change our times, we'll have all that out there. But again, if we need to do a survey of like what service would you want to come to, we might need to know that from you ahead of time too, to kind of
to see prepared. Where the so we can see where everybody would be leaning towards. We're thinking at this point, and again, this has all got to get finalized by leadership. Mm-hmm. Nobody can make autonomous decisions in the way, you know, our church runs.
Right.
But my idea is to do a 9 o'clock and 10:30 service. We'll still make the services a little bit shorter since contact time is an important factor of how we mitigate the spread of this.
That's right.
So we're going to probably keep it shorter services. And my goal, as always, is once we get past all this, is to be able to get back to one service where we're all together in the same room, even if it's crowded. I love that. I will take that any day over.
I think we all would prefer that. Yeah. But, you know, we have to do what we have to do.
Right.
And it's better than not being able to meet at all.
That's correct.
And we're hoping, like you said, it's temporary. And
yep. And that's what we're expecting.
So also one thing I wanted to mention too is probably because we don't have the recording capability out at the pier, you won't be starting like another series until we're back in the building. Correct.
Correct. Yeah. And I'm still weighing that out. I had a pretty clear idea of where I was going to go for our next study. And now I'm kind of tossing around some different ideas. So we'll see.
Could be praying.
Pray for me. And I've been praying about it. We'll see where we go. We'll definitely be doing a study and we're going to study through a book. That's just the way I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's the, I think it's the safest for everybody.
That sounds good.
Have I ever talked about that? Why I feel like it's important to teach through an entire book?
If you haven't, it hasn't been recently.
So, like, years and years ago, back when Eastgate was still meeting in the Promenade Mall, and I was doing topical things. That's all I'd really known. I happened to be talking with someone and mentioned a passage that to me seemed very familiar out of John. And I believe it was, when Jesus was saying, greater love has no man than he laid down his life for a friend. Mm-hmm. Threw that at the person and they had no idea what I was talking about. And I was like, that's a pretty familiar thing. I said, what's in the Gospel of John? And the person said, I really know very few scriptures. I really don't know. I don't think I've ever read through the book of John. And I just remember it hit me like a punch in the chest, like, man, this is really important. I mean, this is important for people to be able to go through this. And you, N.T. Wright has said before, people have said, how do we read the scriptures? And he says, frequently and in big chunks.
Hmm.
And that helps to keep the sense of narrative together. And I don't know, it struck me so hard at that point that, man, we need to teach through these books and that keeps it safer. We're keeping all the scriptures in context. We're not pulling something out and trying to apply it somewhere where it wasn't originally being applied in the context of the larger story. And I just felt like that was really important to do. And so we started doing that way back.
Beginning.
Yeah. And we had a cursory acquaintance with Calvary Chapel through the Horizon Christian Fellowship up in Indianapolis when we were living there. But we didn't know that much about it. But people would come in to visit Eastgate from Calvary Chapel and say, is this a Calvary Chapel? And I'd be like, no. And they said, man, it's just like a Calvary Chapel. Yeah. You're teaching through the Bible. And that's what got us interested in seeing about affiliating with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, that's one thing. The expository exploration of God's word, going through book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, that's irreplaceable. And it doesn't bother me that we're having to repeat books. I feel like my second time through John or Matthew was was better than the first time around.
Well, it's like you're talking about with your theology teaching. You learn something every time you go through and make adjustments. And yeah. And your mom, as an English teacher, would always talk about the power of repetition.
That's
and,
right.
I mean, we're human beings. We forget stuff all we the do. Time. So.
We do. And so I think, so I can't wait to get back into that. That's yes. my thing that I'm really excited about, getting together a study and all of us as a community working our way through a book and learning what we can learn from it. And
mm-hmm.
having our spiritual horizons broadened
yes.
and our hope deepened in what it is that the gospel is preparing for us.
Something to look forward to.
Right on, right on.
So I think that's all our updates. I don't know of any other news that is news. We'll keep you all posted, like I said, on social media and newsletters.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for the four people that are listening,
that's right.
It's about time when we're wrapping it up. I don't even know how long we've been talking here. So it's time to, you know, kind of rouse yourself and be prepared.
Wake up.
Wake up now. But anyway, we're glad you were able to join us
yes.
and hang out with us for this little bit of time. It's just, you know, this is our chance to just kind of sit in your living room and ramble on about things that are interesting to us. And if it's interesting to you, then that's cool. And if not, that's cool too.
That's right. We get it.
But for us at Eastgate, we're learning to love God. We're learning to love others.
This is our story so far.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye. Music for the Wonder What podcast were written and produced by Scott Holmes, Ketza, Northbound, Cambo and B-Side from the Free Music Archive.